I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, and this is Seder Stories, the official podcast of Holy Cross Athletics. On this episode, I'm joined by former Holy Cross offensive lineman and new Chicago Bear, Luke Newman. Back in April, Luke was drafted 195th overall in the NFL draft with a sixth-round pick by the Bears. Luke is just the second Crusader drafted by an NFL team since 1989. Wow. Luke, congratulations on living the draft dream, and welcome to Seder Stories.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Kevin. Great to be here.
It's great to see you again. I got to start with this. How did you first find out you'd be a Chicago Bear, and who was there to celebrate with you?
So it was a little bit of a hectic day. Obviously I had the draft party here in Michigan. You know, would have loved to, you know, have some more Holy Cross faces there, much like CJ did. You know, everyone having a job distance didn't quite work out. I actually had Phoenix, who was also, our graduating class at Holy Cross. He's back in Michigan, had him over. I was talking with CJ actually, you know, cause he had his draft party just the year before. I was like, you know, should I do this? Was it stressful? Is it too much? He says, you know, it was obviously a stressful, hectic day, but it just made it all the more special to have everyone there with them. So I said, all right, I'll do it. And, you know, day kind of goes on. Going back to CJ's draft last year, I remember being shorter than it was, but I think being in the situation, being drafted, felt like forever. And, you know, just kind of like when it was getting a little too hectic, I actually, you know, went into my room, decompressed for a minute, watched a little bit of baseball. And, you know, kind of like 5 minutes after I sit down there, I get a phone call and, you know, it's from a Chicago area code. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like this could be it. This could be something. So, you know, there's a lot of commotion going on downstairs. I originally take the call upstairs just to see who it is. And it's Ryan Poles, the GM for the Bears. And that's when I immediately rush downstairs, you know, like, quiet everyone down, and then, you know, turn my eyes to the TV, and that's when, you know, him, head coach Ben Johnson, the O-line coach, the president, all, you know, announced to me that they would be drafting me with the 195th pick. So that was, it all happened, you know, very fast, while at the same time felt like it took forever, but, you know, it happened nonetheless, and it was in a moment that I will never forget, and that's, you know, just having everyone there, family, friends, made it all the more special.
That's an incredible experience you'll never forget. And growing up around Detroit, I know you've seen plenty of the Lions recently. So think about this new era for you and the Bears. You've got former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson moving over to Chicago as a rookie head coach for last year's first overall pick, Caleb Williams at quarterback. What have you learned so far about this electrifying offense that we're going to see in Chicago now?
I think one thing I've learned immediately, just, you know, at first glance, you know, playing with Ben Johnson, is that, you know, he's a perfectionist. He doesn't like mistakes in his offense, and he understands that, you know, it's new for everyone. It's new for Caleb. It's new for the veterans. It's new for everyone, but he doesn't use that as an excuse. You know, he looks for perfection in everything that everyone across the board does. And something I've really learned is that, you know, he's very intent on what the O-line does. You know, my O-line coach, Dan Ruchar, actually told me this story that, you know, him and so he did his interview with Ben Johnson, and our assistant O-line coach, Kyle Devan, was expecting to do his interview with head O-line coach. You know, they met briefly on Zoom, talked for a little bit, but Ben Johnson ran the entire interview. Like, he talked offensive line with him nonstop, like, terminologies that he was like, wait, how does he know about that? Like, he's an offensive coordinator. Like, how could he possibly? I mean, he's so involved in every single position, not just, you know, Caleb with quarterbacks or receivers or anyone else. He's, you know, he's a guy that delves into every single position on the field, and getting to, you know, play with Caleb, you know, that last week of practice I was there, had a chance to snap with him a lot. You know, he's a fantastic player, makes a lot of good plays, you know, is very great in the huddle, you know, a great communicator, great leader. And certainly excited to kind of be a part of his, you know, his year two in the NFL under Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I'm not surprised Coach Johnson is micromanaging that line, because he's got the franchise at quarterback, Caleb Williams, playing right behind you. So I'd love to get an idea. After starting at left tackle for Holy Cross, the most critical spot on the line, you transferred to Michigan State, where the Spartans moved you to left guard. Where have you been working on the offensive line in Chicago?
So During rookie minicamp, it was mostly left guard, but after that, it was now mostly center. So, when they drafted me, they told me, obviously we see, we can utilize you as a guard, both spots, but where we really see you long term is, being able to play center. So,
Wow.
and I kind of interpreted that to be the case with any NFL team that was going to draft me as center first, guard second. So, throughout the entire span of January through really till today, main priority has been, snapping, understanding technique as a center and just really, nailing that down. And CJ was actually someone I utilized a lot in this process because he's doing the same thing at Kansas City, learning to play center as well. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm mostly utilized at. I think my tackle playing days are over, but yes, swinging alongside the interior three of the offensive line is what's going to be it going forward.
You reminded me of a similar conversation I had with CJ leading up to last year's draft. He had said that he would interview with NFL teams and they were impressed at his knowledge, the way he could diagnose problems, the way he could carry a conversation. He really said that he felt like Holy Cross's education, the entire college experience, really helped him stand out as an offensive lineman who could learn multiple positions. Do you feel like you had a similar experience here at the college?
Absolutely. Even going into Michigan State, I think a lot of those coaches were impressed with my ability to kind of, dissect what they were trying to teach us on offense. Like it was a very newer system than what we were used to at Holy Cross. It was more of a pro style type approach with more wide zone scheme implemented, not as much gap as what we did at Holy Cross. And I think they were able to realize pretty quickly how, how inept I would be to picking that new playbook up, especially coming in May. Like I didn't have that that spring ball semester with them as I was finishing out my degree at Holy Cross, and just coming in May and picking that up really quickly and carrying it into camp just a couple months after that, I think really blew them away. And also, I think NFL teams took note of that as well and knew like I could come in. Do something I did at Michigan, do something very similar to what I did at Michigan State. In this respect, Chicago's offense, or Ben Johnson's offense, I should say, very similar to what Michigan State does, is we studied Lions film all last year as we were installing our playbook. So it's very similar stuff to what I'm seeing at Michigan State. And I think a lot of that's just making this process a lot easier.
It just sounds like you're uniquely qualified for this opportunity. You're a Michigander from Bloomfield Hills, just outside Detroit. You played your high school football at Powerhouse Brother Rice. Get an opportunity to watch what Ben Johnson was doing with the Lions in Detroit. So, what does it mean now to you, your friends, your family, to see you drafted into the NFC North, where you might get opportunities here sooner than later to play against the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, like all my friends, all my parents' friends, literally everyone I know in this area says, good luck this year, except when you play the Lions. Like hope you win every single game this year, except for two of them. So everyone's like, we're happy for you. Chicago's close, that's awesome. But when you come to Detroit, not going to be rooting for you. So I was like, understandable. Like definitely respect it. I used to be a bit of a Lions fan myself, growing up, and. Used to banter with Chris O'Kelly every now and then about him being a Bears fan, and kind of funny how that works out. He was actually one of the first people to call me after I got drafted,
That's
and
great.
he couldn't contain his excitement. But I thought that was hilarious, just kind of how that all worked out.
Chris
But yeah.
O'Kelly, now a trivia answer as the first Bill Belichick recruit at UNC.
Oh, that was he the first one?
He was the first one.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, I still talk to him a good amount and hearing good things about him at UNC, and super excited to see him play week one.
And I bet your friends from Detroit are reminding you that Aiden Hutchinson will be back healthy next season as well, blitzing the quarterback.
That's right. Funny you say that, because actually, the gym, where I'm training around here is located in Troy, Michigan. And it was actually yesterday morning I was walking in, and who do I see in there when I walk in the building? Aiden Hutchinson. He's working out at the same place using this machine that they have. And my trainer told me when we were in the middle of our workout, he's like, when you were coming in here, I said to Hutch, like, look up, like that's your competition in there. And he just said, okay. And then Walked right out after, as soon as he was finished up. I was like, yeah, it's going to be a problem this year for the entire league. And you know, I think we'll handle them.
Yeah, it's one of those, oh, I'm in the NFL moments. And I've got to point out, you do have a fellow Crusader in that division as well, with Khalif Raymond at wideout for the Lions. Have you heard from some other Holy Cross alums, Jalen? I know you mentioned CJ, Khalif, about, you know, what this experience is like, a Benton Whitley, a Liam Anderson, about making those first steps into the league and maximizing the opportunity.
Yeah, certainly heard from Liam kind of throughout the process, as well as, you know, kind of what his experiences were. Jalen, similar case, but yeah, no, CJ was really just the one I tried to utilize the most, because we were in like eerily similar positions. Like, you know, we went to the same All-Star game, you know, like same position, like we even have the same representation, and like, you know, all of this I've just tried to center around CJ, just because, like, you know, he's going through like almost exactly what I'm going through, you know, despite the fact, you know, everything except, you know, he went to the combine, I didn't, and he's in Kansas City, I'm in Chicago. Those are really the only differences we had through this process. And but yeah, like it's so great to have so many Crusader alums in the league now, to be able to utilize, talk to about their experiences. I even had a chance to catch up with Jimmy Murray during my time in Chicago already. Talked to him about his playing experiences as well.
Let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll dive deeper into your relationship with CJ and that new developing NFL offensive lineman factory we've got going here in Worcester. That's next on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence, in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete, to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
Holy Cross football fans, don't miss the action at Fitton Field this season. Secure your tickets today. Season tickets and other great offers, including flex vouchers and the Fitton 4-pack, are available now. For more info, visit goholycross.com/FBTIX or call 1-844-GO-CROSS. Welcome back to Seder Stories, presented by UMass Memorial Health. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders, joined by former Holy Cross offensive lineman turned Spartan, now Chicago Bear, Luke Newman. But let's not forget where it all started. It was here at Holy Cross, where we love to say, you can have it all. That includes a shot to play at the highest level of your sport. So give us an idea, Luke. How did Holy Cross best prepare you for this NFL opportunity?
You know, I'd like to say that, you know, it all kind of started with my sophomore year, where, you know, we didn't really have a freshman year. It was COVID, you know, had those four games in the fall or the spring, and, you know, turn around in the fall, you know, not quite sure what my role is going to be on the team, and, you know, have a good camp. And then I'm just kind of, you know, put in the fire, a true sophomore kind of out there at left tackle against UConn. And I think from that game on, you know, just being able to, you know, feel the trust and respect that my coaches had for me in my game, you know, shown in practices, and, you know, trusting to put, you know, a young guy like me out there in the game, you know, at 18 years old, starting for the Crusaders. I think that was really what set me up for such success, you know, later at Michigan State and now currently in the NFL, is just the ability to display my, you know, my abilities from such an early standpoint in my career. And, you know, learning from Coach Smith, Coach Grotzky, and Coach Chesney, I think a lot about why I was able to, you know, have some success, and why, you know, everything kind of worked out well in that way, was, you know, especially due to Coach Grotzky in the weight room. Like, you know, we, like in the NFL at Michigan State, we did not lift there like we did at Holy Cross. Like, that was,
really?
yes, like, you know, work hard. You know, you win a game on Saturday, you feel sore the next day, and you're putting, 400, 500 pounds on your back and squatting and, getting ready to go next week. Like, those lifts were some of the most intense ones of my life. And I think I credit a lot of that to how I was able to dominate on the field week in, week out, stay injury free. Part of my, success in this pre-draft process was having a stat of playing 49 consecutive games in college, not sustaining any major injuries. And I credit a lot of that to how Coach Grotzky operated at Holy Cross. And finally, I think just a little bit off the field, because a lot of this pre-draft stuff really dealt with, not how you were as a player, what your film showed. Obviously, that stuff was number one, very important, but how you are as a person. And I took a pre-draft visit to Chicago 2 weeks before the draft, so they could kind of take notes on me, kind of see who I am as a person. And I think I did very well there, just showing them who I was, what kind of man I am, and how Holy Cross kind of transformed me into being, an individual people want, not just on the field, but in their building, in the community. And I credit a lot of that to the people I was able to look up to at Holy Cross, professors, coaches, trainers, everyone.
I mean, you worked hard on your own behalf from an undersized player, your words coming out of high school, to an FBS player and now in the NFL. But your resume also speaks for itself in Worcester. Even that year, that COVID-impacted year, a Patriot League title. So 4 rings in 4 years. You land on the All-American list in 2 of your 3 years as a starter at left tackle. In all those championship seasons, with all those wins, what were the moments? What were the victories? What were the accomplishments that still put a smile on your face today when you're talking with old teammates and friends from Holy Cross about those great days in Worcester?
Man, I think some of the moments, my favorite moments, don't even, consider some of the games, but in those camp practices where, you're not worried who you have week one, you just, it's almost like it's competitive, it's fiery, but it's almost like a hatred you have for the defense and the defense has for the offense. Like, I'm going to put you in the backfield every play, or no, I'm going to put you 10 yards past the line every play. Like, I think nobody emulated that better than Jacob Dobbs and CJ Hansen, two of some of the greatest competitors I've ever been around, and some of the bestest friends even today. But during some of those practices, you would think that they wanted to tear each other's heads off every day. And I think just some of those battles we had in camp were really some of the greatest, memories I have of, battling with, Ben Whitley, Dan Kuznetsov, Jake Reichwein, all those guys. And, I think, and then week one, we turn around and like, hey, we get to finally take this out on someone else. Like, let them know how it feels to, get bullied for, 2.5, 3 hours during a game. And we did just that. And I think some of those moments in camp were awesome, just as much as some of those wins we had on the field.
You're coming from a program that just piled up championship success in the Patriot League, moving up the ladder in FCS. Then you make the jump to Michigan State, which is a program with great history. We both have a personal connection there, but they're rebuilding. They're trying to climb back up the Big Ten. How different is the mentality from a Holy Cross, sort of a finished product competing for titles, as opposed to a program that's on the rise? And how did you carry what you learned in Worcester to East Lansing?
So yeah, I'll say this. So Holy Cross, difference between Holy Cross and Michigan State. So when I got to Michigan State, a lot of young guys on that roster, a lot of inexperience, a lot of, they, I hate to say it, but just a lot of, losing is, kind of what they've done, the 2 years prior to when I got there. And just they weren't ready, or they weren't used to, I guess they couldn't emulate like a winning culture like we had at Holy Cross. So what I felt responsible to do was, try to, especially as it pertains to the O-line room, kind of emulate what we had kind of going at Holy Cross, like some of the, mentalities we had across the board. We're a very veteran group, all, staying on top of our stuff, very intent with our practices, our game film study, everything like that, and just try to bring it over to Michigan State. But it just became a matter of, like, the experience isn't quite there yet. I know that I think this year was a huge year for growth for a lot of those guys. They were able to retain a lot of those guys as well. The quarterback, Aiden Childs, was, an 18-year-old when he first set on the foot on Spartan Field, a year ago today. And He's coming in more experienced, more battle hardened, and I think same goes for across the board. And I think a lot of those guys are definitely ready to take that next step and build that winning culture, much like we had at Holy Cross.
I know you were busy last fall in East Lansing, and you'll be even busier now in Chicago. How have you been staying connected with our Crusader football team from afar?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have group chats across the board. We have a group chat with the O linemen that we keep in touch with throughout the season. We'd be at the hotel night before a game. Eric would be night before a game at Duke. Pat McMurtry at JMU, CJ in Kansas City, and the guys we still had at Holy Cross. We kind of get on FaceTime the night before and kind of talk and just reminisce about where we all were last year being together in the hotel. And we kind of just kept in touch, a lot through that way, and we still do so today. For one, I can't believe, McMurtry is going into his seventh year at JMU. So we'll be FaceTiming him in the team hotel room as well. Chris So at North Carolina, and I think just even though we've, we're in different locker rooms now, like we have different teammates, different, O lineman brothers that we're playing with, something about that time in Worcester has really just kept us all together, and definitely will long after we're all done playing.
You joined Bob Chesney at Holy Cross, who's now at JMU and has carried a lot of our great Crusaders with him to Virginia. So, as the torch has been passed to Dan Curran, another Patriot League title this year, how have you seen the consistency maintained along the offensive line? Because I got to tell you, the last couple seasons calling these games, it feels like no matter the injuries, no matter who's playing where, a new standard has been set along that O line. Do you see that continuing now?
I do, absolutely. This year I think was really special to have, older guys like Dalton, Christo, and Declan in that room to, kind of maintain and uphold that standard that we set on the offensive line, years prior. And younger guys now like Joe Metzger, Cam Nolan, being in there is, now the veteran guys who are, also upholding kind of what we set there years ago, just having a nasty attitude, finishing guys down the field, and also a lot of guys who are willing to move around and adapt. Like Declan went down early. Brad had to step in, play some tackle in some big games. Joe Metzger, I heard, was even playing a little left tackle. And just a lot of guys coming up and stepping up to the plate for us, where it's happened before where we have guys go down. Pat McMurtry going down week two against Buffalo, and needing guys to step up and fill those spots, and still no drop off. We still rush for 250 a game and put 40 on the board. That's just kind of the stuff that we were used to, and some of the stuff that I was very happy to see upheld this year as well.
Feels like it's just built into the DNA of Holy Cross football now. About a year ago, Khalif Raymond was sitting in the same seat you are now here on Seder Stories, and he said that he was a kid similarly undersized coming out of high school down south, and Holy Cross was really one of the only schools to take him up on a cold call, a cold email. And he has carried that now into the NFL, says that he really represents Holy Cross. We now have a handful of Crusaders playing in the league, you included. How do you represent Holy Cross? And when people ask you about your school in Worcester, what do you tell them about football players?
So, that kind of reminds me. So, like, my Michigan State buddies would always ask me, like, how was your O-line at Holy Cross? Like, was it good? I was like, dude, you would have no idea. Like, we across the board, I think we're better, the best offensive line in FCS. And having played some Big Ten competition, I could assuredly say we were better than a lot of the Big Ten offensive lines that I saw this year.
Wow.
We were just a tough group across the board. And I think above all that, like we were athletic. Like we weren't like, big, slow bruisers guys. Like we were guys that could move, bend, like get out in space. And, to have five guys and not just guys on the edge or on the interior that are able to do that, like creates a whole lot of issues for defense and gives a whole lot of flexibility to your play callers. And, man, I mean, I couldn't be prouder of the group we had. And I love bragging about us to, guys at Michigan State, guys in the locker room at, Chicago, and like people like couldn't believe it. They're like, really? Like an FCS O line? I was like, dude, like I say without a doubt that we were the best offensive line in FCS for 2 years, and like it was it just it gets me excited every time I talk or think about it. Like it's something that was unbelievable to me.
Still carrying the flag for Holy Cross. We love to hear that. Let's take one last break. When we return, we'll learn more about how Luke is making the most out of his NFL opportunity right here on Seder Stories.
Leadership and excellence in competition, in the classroom, in the community. For decades, Crusader Athletics has focused on our topmost commitment, elevating every student athlete to reach for more, to grow more, to achieve more. Help us to continue to strengthen minds, build character, and celebrate together as one Crusader Nation. Because when we commit together, we win together. Join us, Crusaders Together.
Holy Cross hockey fans, be sure to check out the Holy Cross men's hockey schedule for the 2025-26 season. It'll be here before you know it. Visit GoHolyCross.com/tickets to place your season ticket deposit today. I welcome you back to Seder Stories, presented by UMass Memorial Health. I'm Kevin Gale, voice of the Crusaders. It is great to be rejoined by one of the great Crusaders off the offensive line on four Patriot League championship teams. He's now a Chicago Bear. His name is Luke Newman. Luke, you are now the second Crusader drafted in the last 36 years. An incredible accomplishment, but even better when you think it happens back-to-back with your old running mate, CJ Hansen, who's on the Chiefs, drafted just a year ago. We talked about some of the pre-draft process and how valuable CJ was in that regard. Now, you're in the NFL. You're prepping for training camp. How has CJ helped you navigate life in the NFL beyond the playing field?
So definitely gave me a good idea of what to expect, kind of starting with the All-Star circuit. You know, you get down there and it's 4 hours of interviews a day. And, you know, I asked them, like, you know, kind of what are they going to ask you? Like, how'd you handle it? And, you know, asked obviously similar questions to how it would go at the combine. But, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go, didn't get the invite for that. But again, a lot of those questions were asked, you know, pre-draft visits as well. And to get kind of a glimpse of kind of like, you know, be prepared, like just be yourself, like really nothing you can do to kind of study ahead of time, you know, for what, you know, people are going to ask you and whatnot. And it was definitely a really great sigh of relief to hear that. And, you know, I just had to go out there, be myself, you know, and just kind of, you know, show the NFL, like, you know, who they're getting as a person more so than what they're getting as a player. And I think in my case, it worked out very well, just in regards to, you know, having, you know, two great parents who raised me, going to Holy Cross, who, you know, helped shape me, and, you know, carrying all of that with me into this process really helped me a lot.
How self-directed do you need to be now as a pro? Because if I understand this right, when you're a student athlete in college, your life is very structured. I mean, Coach Grotzky's got you in the gym. You're going to class. Coach Chesney's got you on a rigid schedule. Now you have to be a little bit more self-directed in your preparation, right?
Yeah. So it's full on treating it like a job. Like, you know, just because like you're off the books, like, you know, coaches aren't holding you in your building doesn't mean you stop doing what you need to do to, you know, stay on the field, make a team, or and be great in general. You know, it requires you to, you know, stay in the film room, stay in the playbook much longer than you're required to. Doing that extra things you can kind of do for recovery. Like, that's, you know, one of the things I kind of struggled with at times, just like setting time aside like, let's make sure I'm in the cold tub for X amount of time. I'm rolling out, I'm doing all this, you know. Not things that I've been great at, but, you know, especially getting in the building week one in May there, you know, I started to prioritize that a lot more. Could definitely feel some of the effects of that on my body and how much better I'm feeling after a practice or a workout. And I think just tackling a lot of that recovery stuff and just the ability to stick to times where you can get some individual work by yourself, playbook time, recovery, all that matters just so much more at this level. your best availability or best ability is your availability. And I don't think that proves more so than any other level than being in the NFL. 'Cause if you're not available, you don't just get to stay on the team. Like they can cut, waive you right away just because, you're not going to be able to produce for them. So being able to do that, much bigger deal at this level and something I'm prioritizing a whole lot more.
For players at the skill positions, it's easy to point to flashy names like Tom Brady, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice. But when you dreamed of becoming a lineman in the NFL, who were some linemen that you looked up to?
Being a little bit of a Lions fan, obviously I thought, a guy like Frank Ragnow was an incredible person to kind of watch and emulate his game after. People praise him for, above all else, his toughness, his fortitude, and he's someone that struggled with, injuries and such throughout the league, but it's never stopped him from being, such a dominant physical player. And the room, the O-line room in Chicago was pretty shocked to hear of his retirement. I certainly am too. Would have loved to share the field with him this fall, but I think that's just a guy right there. Being a guy from the Detroit area, looking up to the Lions and watching him play every Sunday, that was really something special to emulate. And I certainly have a lot bigger names, in the O-line room as well here in Chicago to
Yeah.
emulate now as well. Joe Tooney being number one on that board. He's a guy that, CJ looked up to a whole bunch during his time in Kansas City with him. And funny now that he's, transferred over to me in Chicago and get to kind of see what CJ was seeing all year.
So even though those skill guys may get the flash and get their names in the paper, you can make a lot of money playing interior or outside offensive line because some of the guys you just mentioned, I mean, Chicago spent big money to build the middle of that line and protect Caleb Williams. So when you allow yourself to dream about what your NFL career could be, what do you think the next couple years have to look like for you to make the most of this opportunity?
I think the next few years, particularly this year in particular, is a lot of, putting your head down and just working. What I think a lot of guys kind of like to do is, whenever they work out, whenever they play, practice, whatever, love to have a camera in front of them, love to, make the mixtapes and show all the flash. But, I think a lot of the best stuff you can do for yourself gets done when nobody else is watching. So I think a lot of what I'm going to prioritize this year and the following are just going to be, working quietly, kind of making progress behind the scenes and only having it shown, in moments where it truly matters out there on the practice field and preseason and the regular season. And I think just being able to just take, just small steps, just each and every day, just, improving my hands, my feet, everything about that, and just such small, maybe not even noticeable ways, but just having that tack on each day, I think it's going to show up in a huge way, for the coaches, for the fans, for everyone when it happens on the field on Sundays.
Bears fans are really excited about the future right now. There's some major opportunities to become a star in that town because they are crazy about the Bears. I want to go back to those earliest days when you walked on campus in Worcester. Could you have ever imagined that you'd be suiting it up at Soldier Field, get an opportunity to play at a Lambeau or a Ford Field right in your backyard? Is this already surpassing some of your wildest dreams?
Absolutely. I think, coming to Worcester and being at Holy Cross, I, as a, young kid, I would have just been happy just, getting to play on the field and whatever capacity, on fit and on Saturdays. And, I don't think it was until after my junior year where, I put together my first team All-American season and, I'm playing at a quite, a pretty high level with having some time left in college. I was like, hey, maybe this professional thing isn't such a, a long shot after all, let's put your head down, work, and let's see where this takes me. And led to a good year the next season. And although, I would have loved to come out of Holy Cross and be able to hear Holy Cross called, again during the draft, didn't get, a whole lot of momentum rolling. I think, a lot of that had to do with, kind of what my physical stature says and what position I was playing. I was playing tackle, but what does the NFL see? They see a center first, guard second. So, transition over to Michigan State to kind of showcase a little more on the interior. It happened to work out pretty well that season, and then, get to, hear my name called during the draft. Truly special stuff, but, some part of me really wishes, sometimes it would have been Holy Cross, being the school called on the board. But, when people ask me, like you're starting in a primetime game, everyone says like, your
There you
name,
go.
like, what are you gonna say? I was like, oh, I'm saying Holy Cross. They're like, what? Like, why would you say that? Like, you just came from Michigan State. I was like, Holy Cross came first. They're gonna be the first school called. So.
Does Chicago have a Sunday night football game circled where you might get to look in the camera and say it?
I think the first game actually is a primetime one, at home against Minnesota. There's been a handful of primetime games I think Chicago's taken on this year, so we'll see what happens.
Don't worry, Luke. For those of us who are watching day three of the draft, even though it said Michigan State, we knew Luke Newman, College of the Holy Cross. Thank you so much again. You've made so many Crusaders proud. First as a four-time champion, that streak's still alive. And now as another Holy Cross alum in the NFL. Best of luck in preseason camp. We hope to see a lot of you this season in Chicago.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. That'll do it for this episode of Seder Stories. Tell your fellow Crusaders they can tune in anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud. If you love hearing stories from Crusaders like these, please leave us a five-star rating and review. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great summer, everybody. I'm Kevin Gale. Go Cross, go.